Mama, what's that?
My son Denny asks as a vehicle roars over the stone bridge that spans the Hope River, just outside of Liberty, West Virginia. I look away from the newspapers in the rack set out on the sidewalk in front of Gold's Dry Goods and shake my head, swallowing fear. Nazis take Sevastopol in relentless advance toward Moscow, the headlines read. I try to keep it from the children, but I'm worried about Europe's war spreading like a virus around the world. It's happened before. It could happen again. Over the last few weeks, the Germans have taken Kiev, Odessa, and Kharkov, places my veterinarian husband, Dr. Hester, has obsessively marked on the National Geographic map taped inside our bedroom closet. The roar gets louder as a bolt of lightning streaks down Maine. Mira, my littlest, clings to my skirt. Sunny and Sue, the twins, stand hugging each other. I don't know, I answer, catching our reflections in the store's shiny window, a Norman Rockwell painting. Farm woman and children go to town. There she stands in her blue wool coat, small but strong. She wears wire-rim glasses that keep falling off her short nose, and her straight, shoulder-length brown hair is tied back with a ribbon, a pleasant, rosy-cheeked woman with her shoulders back, but not what you'd call a real looker. Her brood of four is healthy and handsome, too. The dark-haired boy wears a wool cap and clean overalls. Twin tow-headed girls in red dresses with plaid jackets turn from the displays in the store window, and a smaller girl, with freckles, has a worn brown teddy bear tucked under her arm. The vehicle spins around in front of the Saved by Jesus Baptist Church at the other end of Maine, and I can just make out a bright red motorcycle with a sidecar of the same color. The driver, dressed in black leather with a scarlet scarf around his neck, races his motor and heads back this way. He stands on the seat like a circus performer and salutes as he passes. Wow! Danny yells. The motorcyclist stops again on the bridge over the Hope, revs the motor, and shoots back into town. He screeches to a stop in front of Gold's Dry Goods, then cuts the motor, slowly pulls off his helmet and goggles, then shakes his black curls. Ma? Mira whispers, squeezing my arm. That's a woman! The female rider, with large brown eyes and skin the color of coffee and cream, stands with one hand on her hip, swinging her leather helmet by its strap. A thin, blonde boy with pale blue eyes sits hunched and unsmiling in the sidecar. Bitsy! I yell, jumping off the high curb and almost falling on my hands and knees in the street. You're home! Have you ever noticed that when you're reunited with an old friend, someone you've been through hard times with, it's like you've never been apart? That's how it is with Bitsy and me. I turn the page in my journal. It's a beautiful book that I've had for years, but it won't last much longer. Even with my cramped cursive, it's almost full. When I saw the bouquet of tulips embossed on the cover in Stenger's pharmacy years ago, I had to have it, so I spent my last dollar and bought three. This was before Wall Street collapsed in 1929, and I still had a dollar. Inside the brown leather, in the top corner of each lined page, is a small colored print of a poppy or a rose, a toad or snail, some living thing. There's a lock and key that I keep on a long ribbon around my neck, along with my gold watch, the gold pocket watch Mrs. Kelly, my midwife teacher and friend, left me when she passed on. My life has been difficult at times, and the delicacy of the empty pages in the journal is what charmed me. The diary is like a friend I can talk to, some gentle, sensible woman, someone who would laugh at the things I laugh at and understand when I cried. Tonight, after my husband Daniel and the children are in bed, Bitsy and I sit curled on the sofa in front of the fireplace with my old beagle, Sasha.
Nice place, Bitsy says, looking around.
I adjust my glasses to see what she sees. A fireplace with a large framed mirror on the mantel, an upright piano, a worn blue Davenport, two rocking chairs, and a new electric floor lamp with an amber glass shade. There's an oil painting of me as a girl hanging over the sofa, and my husband's framed photographs of racehorses, farm horses, and hunting horses all over the walls. A braided red rug gives warmth to the room, and there's a wood heater stove near the stairway.
The stained glass lamp is the first new thing that Dan and I have bought since the Great Depression, I tell my friend,